Welcome back to UNLV Spring Football Showcase. Kenyon Oblad trying to lead a drive there, but the Rebels were stopped on third down. As Armani Rogers, I'm thinking you're right. His day might be done. Steve Cofield, can you see Armani? I see him. He's got his helmets. He's still on his head. He could get in there.
Yeah, he can. I'm guessing the next time you see him is when they go to more of a situational thing. I know Coach Sanchez loves to do two-minute drill. It's part of every practice is going over two-minute and tempoed offense. We haven't seen it much here today, so maybe that's going to be the next phase of this team portion. But I would not be surprised, though, if that wasn't the case and Armani was done. It would be good to see him go off into the summer with kind of a good feeling of what he did today instead of having to regret throwing another interception or something like that, you know?
Steve, you're down there on the sideline. I'm curious. Can you get an interview with the punter, Hayes Hicken, for us?
Is that right? You want one?
Well, he hasn't done anything the whole time. I mean, they punted earlier, but I imagine for the special teams guys, this isn't the most fun spring showcase.
Wishful thinking, right, that the punter never gets any action? He had a hell of a season last year. He did a very good job throughout the year. One note from the sideline. I don't know that he's out for the game, but Javen White, one of the Rebel linebackers, did have his right shoulder wrapped up before, and that wrap is off. They were kind of working on his right shoulder, so it doesn't look like anything major. He's got his pads back on, but they were working on the right shoulder.
Is Javen White getting special treatment down there because he was the hero from the end of last season?
This
Steve?
Is it. This is the carryover.
Probably should, right? I mean, he is one of the key players on this defense, and another guy who is incredibly versatile at that height, and you can see the sort of explosion he had on those turnovers in those key games down the stretch.
Markel Grayson is in a quarterback for UNLV. He's already facing a third down and 9 for the offense right now. But, man, yeah, you do see Demetrius Gibbs out there. He is just, he's taller than everybody.
He's tall. He's a lanky guy. And when he's on the field, you have to worry about where he's going to be because he, like those over-the-middle passes, he can get up and bat those down and come down with interceptions. You hope that's what he does. Right now, he's kind of playing like almost like a linebacker depth right now. And so I wonder if that's something that they're playing around with defensively is how to scheme up and make him impact the game more.
And you see right there, Markel Grayson had to try to throw that one over Demetrius Gibbs and ended up throwing it too high and over his intended receiver. So another 3-and-out for the UNLV offense, but Demetrius Gibbs potentially being a name to watch for this UNLV team. So we still have another 11 minutes here in the second half of this scrimmage before it gets wrapped up. But one of the things you've been commenting on a lot is you just think this has been clean. This has been a well-played scrimmage so far.
It's been clean. I think that's one of the worries about any coach is when you come in. You heard Coach Cotton mention it actually at the top that coming into a spring game, what you want is to see execution. You're not necessarily wanting to see big plays and dominance and anything like that. You just want to see guys come out, get lined up, break the huddle clean, line up, no procedural penalties. We saw one, a false start against the offense earlier a little bit ago, but you want to see that kind of thing where guys are getting lined up and getting to the right place, knowing their plays, remembering what you've installed over the course of spring ball and executing in front of a crowd because that's the hardest thing. You can do this in practice. You can go over it and film when it's more controlled, but now when the coaches are off to the sideline and they're just – it's all signals from the sideline. It's all you breaking the huddle, getting lined up on your own. It's a different feel, and some guys are new to it, and some guys this is the first time doing it in college. And so a spring showcase for the coaches is really just about making sure that that part of the game is clean. Fall camp is where we're going to find out who's who and who's going to be actually on the field. That's for fall camp. Spring ball is to understand, to figure out who's going to kind of get a grasp of how we want to play and the way things should go.
Did you ever a spring game or spring practice where it was just like, man, that was terrible. We just had
execution was awful. It was terrible. Absolutely terrible. I've had a couple, actually, over my college career where it was just like, man, I wish we didn't do that. I didn't want to do that. Everybody saw that. Now they're not going to want to come next fall. This is a terrible showing. Unfortunately, that's not the feeling here. The UNLV is actually they're doing a great job right now of executing and making it look like, you know, they know what's going on. So the fans that are here witnessing this should leave with a good feeling about where the team is as far as that goes and kind of be optimistic about what's going to come in the fall.
Max Gillum in at quarterback, and there is
I jinxed
a,
it. I did. Oh, I totally jinxed it. There's been there another false start here. So it is the broadcaster jinx just kicked in. You're never supposed to say something until the game's over. But here it goes. A procedural penalty, and Coach Sanchez hasn't lost it. So, I mean, he's still feeling good about where things are. And he's not afraid to show that he's lost it. If you've been to a UNLV practice, if he gets irritated and things aren't going the way he likes, he's going to let you know about it, regardless if there's fans here or not. So
okay. We got a reverse here for Tylee Collins. and he is down the sideline. Tylee Collins is going to be knocked out at the 40-yard line. We saw Max Gillum throwing a block there. Is that allowed in the spring game?
You know what?
If he can't be tackled, he can't be allowed to block,
that's
right?
That's what the defense is. You sound like a defender right now. You can't block. You can't. And then he'll say, I would have made that tackle if he didn't cheat. That's what the defender will say. But, no, it's good to see Tylee. That's the first touch he's had in space. It's good to see him get out in the open field. He kind of took it easy there, kind of measured pace, got, you know, 21 yards on the play, but didn't really have to do much to show his ability. We saw a lot last season, though. He had a lot of slips and falls where he could have had maybe more yards, but he slipped and fell before he could get going. Trying to make an aggressive cut or make someone miss, he ended up losing his footing, and that's exactly what happened there. He tried to make one hard plant, and on this natural grass, it's a lot harder to make those one cuts like that. So a little bit of a concern there for him. Is he going to be able to tailor his game to fit, keep his feet underneath him so he's not sliding all over the place like he did last season?
Man, I am excited about Tylee Collins.
That's a great catch for UNLV. I think he's one of those kind of recruits where he's similar to Lexington in that he's just a guy that knows how to get it done. He's not huge, he's not big, but he's fast, he's quick, and he just gets football. He understands football. When he has the ball in his hands, he's a special player. I'm excited to see what he can do in his career.
He's just such a good weapon. We talked about him earlier on returning punts and what he could possibly bring to the return game, but just everything. I mean, I think he's going to be one of the more important players. Is just how well does this coaching staff get him the ball where he can succeed? Even when teams are keying in on, hey, we can't let Tylee Collins beat us, how does this coaching staff get him the ball even then in space?
And I think every offense needs a guy like that. It's like a Swiss Army knife. I think when I played, it was Marcus Sullivan. He was a receiver by trade, but he did everything. He took handoffs. He returned kicks. He did everything for us. And he was special at it because of his speed, his agility, and his just sense for the game when he had the ball in his hand. So Tylee is one of those guys. Get the ball in his hands as many ways as you can, whether it's reverses, handoffs from the backfield, screens, and the kicking game. Whatever you can do to get him more touches is going to benefit the team.
Gillum has the offense and a first and 10 on the 30. He's taking a shot, and that is going to sail out of play. Under threw that one a little bit. Tariq Hollinsworth is the running back out there with Max Gillum at the moment. So we've seen a good variety of running backs. We haven't seen Armani. We haven't seen Charles Williams in a little bit either. So.
No, yeah, I think both of them had what the coaches – they did what the coaches wanted, I think, on that first drive. And that's a good sign if you're wondering. If you're wondering, in a spring showcase, when the number one guy at quarterback and the number one guy at running back don't see many reps, that's a good thing. Because when they were out there, they did what they were supposed to do. And it's not like the coaches are, like, trying to get them to do something. Like, hey, I need this. I need to see this from you. I need to see that you get this. No. They kind of got it. Armani did what he needed to do. Charles did, too, with that big run on his first play as Gillum completes a catch to the sideline down for a, looks like a first down yardage that they spotted. A nice completion on a deep comeback route.
Jeremy Clark again. Jeremy Clark's had quite a few catches here in this scrimmage. He might be leading the team in reception so far. So it is a yard short of the first down. So it's a third and one for this Max Gillum-led offense as they're looking to punch in another touchdown here about the 22-yard line.
It's going to be close.
It is going to be close. It's going to come down to the spot here. It was a handoff to Courtney Reese, the freshman. Courtney Reese is a fun name because Tony Sanchez, he's been very careful about the comparison because it's a tough one to make. It's a lot of expectations to put on a freshman, but he's compared him to Lexington Thomas quite a few times. In the same mold. Not he's been careful not to say the expectations are to be that, but the same type of running back is what he expects out of Courtney.
That is tough, and they're going to go for it. They hand it to him on fourth down, going for it. He squirts through a little bit like Lex would. I could see where the comparison comes from. It's a tough burden to put on a freshman's shoulders, but you can see it. As a coach, when you're recruiting, a lot of times you recruit on potential, and I could see where you could see the potential that we've got another Lightning Lex in the making here because he's kind of jittery in the hole. He's a smaller guy, and, you know, the way he plays the game is a lot similar to Lex. Who knows if he's going to be the same type of guy as Lex, but you got a couple of Lexington comparisons out on the field. I think last season we compared Tylee a lot to Lex when he did have the ball in space. A nice corner route thrown by Gillum for another touchdown. It's a
perfect
great
pass. That's
throw.
Patrick Ballard making the catch in the back corner of the end zone. Max Gillum, he'll make that perfect pass every now and then, 25 yards.
He had a couple last season where it was like, that's a beautiful throw. That's just a great ball, and he puts it right where it needs to be, and that's what it was there, another touchdown pass. He'd like to erase the interceptions. He's thrown some ill-advised throws, but he's showing why he's been considered the number two guy here and why he's been able to kind of ease his way into that position. He's just got a nice arm. He understands the game. The timing of things, he gets it right now with the experience he had last year. He kind of understands the timing of things. It's just kind of getting ahead of himself and going for more than he needs to sometimes that gets him in trouble with kind of the turnover game. But that was a beautiful throw there for a touchdown.
Prior to that throw, that was a 4th-and-1. They gave it to the freshman, Courtney Reese, who's listed at 5'8", 160 pounds. How many 4th-and-1 carries is Courtney Reese going to get this season?
Oh, man. I would hope not very many. I hope that the balance of the season doesn't rest in his hands too many times. But I think he got some stronger options, let's say, to hand it off to. And Armani Rogers is probably the strongest of those options. I think Armani is the short yardage back, which is it's tough to say when it's your quarterback, but he is. He's tough to tackle, especially if you only needed a yard. He can just lay down and get you that. So, I mean, it's – there was a couple of times last season where UNLV was forced to go for it a lot. They showed their aggressive nature. Coach Sanchez pretty much all but said it, that we're going for it on 4th down. We crossed the 50, and it's 4th down. We're going for it. And there's a couple of games where that was the case. So they're not going to be afraid to go for it. Whoever they decide to hand the ball to has got to understand, get your nose down, get the yards you need. Don't got to be cute. Don't got to be perfect. But just get us a yard, keep this drive alive.
The official sandwich of UNLV spring football is Port of Subs. Thank you to Port of Subs for your partnership with UNLV Athletics. We will take a break after that touchdown from Max Gillum to Patrick Ballard and come back with the final few minutes of the Spring Showcase.
Token on the track.
Welcome back to Peter Johan Memorial Field. Tyler Bischoff, Caleb Herring up here in the booth. We have a walk-off touchdown to end it. Travis Mumphrey to Andre Collins for 65 yards.
That's huge.
They called it. There's about 20 seconds left. They just said that.
We're going to end on a good note. That's a perfect way to end a spring showcase, right?
Not ideal if you're the defense in the final minute to give him a 65-yard
Skipper
touchdown.
Skipper is furious right now. He threw his hat, I'm sure.
He did not want it to end on that
part.
No,
he's like, no, run it back. That's what you usually say when you get beat on the last play. You got to run that back, man. There's no way you can end on that note if you're a defensive guy.
So I guess we could call that the fourth string offense getting a touchdown there on the final play. Brandon Presley just came over on his crutches towards the sideline here as his knee brace on as he had ACL surgery. It feels so much more real, so much more painful
right,
just to see
you're
him
looking
now.
At it like, oh, yeah. Man, he's still got the bandages kind of. It's tough. He's looking at the doc's giving him some advice. His parents are here with him. Talking to him about it, kind of going over what the recuperation process is going to be like, and I'm sure he hasn't even thought about rehab yet, being so fresh, but it's probably tough. It's tough for him as a player, but yeah, it is a lot more real when you see the crutches and the huge brace he's got on his knee.
Yeah, we've been talking about how they'll be able to handle it, they'll be able to deal with it, but it just feels worse when you actually see it there. And we have joining us now UNLV's defensive coordinator Tim Skipper, coming off of the end of this spring showcase. So Steve Cofield is up here in the booth with us now. But Tim, you're probably the only one out here not happy with that final play of the scrimmage, right?
Ah, man, it's all right. We're all Rebels
you
win
today.
You
don't want more plays? You don't want to end on something better?
Rebels win, that's all that really matters. But got to make a play on the ball. Spring games for the kids. Let them go out there and play. Have fun.
What is it? What did you want to see today? Like, what was your goal?
I just wanted to be very, very vanilla and just let the guys play fast. I thought we would have tackled a little better today, but it is what it is. They flew around. We had some good contact. We just keep on getting better.
So we talked about it a little bit before about how football has kind of changed and how spring practices aren't as physical as they used to be on a normal basis, and you don't get as many chances to go live. So for a defensive coordinator, how frustrating is it that you don't get the guys to go loose as much as let loose and play physical? How
definitely.
Frustrating
I mean,
is that?
The way the game is now, you got to tackle dummies and shields and all those type of things. We have our little donuts we roll out there to wrap and things like that. And, I'm more of an old school guy, but you have to adapt to the times and right. You have to do what you have to do. And especially in spring. Spring, you really tinker it down a little bit. So we'll get some tackling going. We get to August, and then we got to be ready to roll in September.
You have a lot of new faces on what next year's defense is going to end up looking like. Not everybody's even necessarily here yet. But what is for you sort of the biggest key to blending all of that together when there's not as much continuity as maybe the offense had?
Definitely. You have to spend that extra time. You have to get to know the guys. I'm big on knowing them off the field. It'll translate to on the field. They love you. They'll play hard for you. That type of mentality. But once we get here in the summertime, that's when we really, really, really get the bonding sessions going and we really know what we want to do and all that stuff comes together. We made a good step this spring. I thought we had a really good spring, but we're going to need to take another leap once we get to the summertime.
So last spring, your first spring compared to this spring, how do you think things went comparatively? I have my opinions of just what I looked at, and better for me. It's both sides of the ball is a lot cleaner. But for you, how was it your second year in with this program?
I think we're a lot faster, and it's not like I'm talking Chinese to them. You know, people understand when we say, hey, do this and do that.
Right.
And it's kind of hard. I don't judge it off of today. I kind of judge it off the other 14. Today was kind of, you know, here's your two calls, call these. And, you know, after the practices and watching us out there, we're a lot faster. I think we have some speed. I think we'll be able to confuse some people with the things we're doing as far as coverages and fronts and all those things. So I'm happy about it, but you have to do it when the lights are on. So we'll see, but we are definitely better than we were at this time last year.
Talk about the speed. How are you feeling about the depth right now?
Depth's a lot better. We recruited to get some depth, you know. Guys are going to compete for some starting spots, but the twos are just as important. It's a physical game. But I like where we're at. I really do. I think we have some bodies that are able to be in there, and we can change guys within the game. If you saw us last year, we kind of had our 12 or 13 guys as we played, and then injuries force you to play other guys. So I think we're more to where we're at, true two deep now.
What is with Vic Viramontes? He's obviously the big name coming in on this defense. What's he been like for you in these 14 days of spring camp?
He's been really good. The unfortunate thing for Vic, he's been banged up a little bit towards the end. Missed a couple practices, and then he went yesterday and then went out there today and was a little slow, a little hobbled, but came back and fought hard through it, you know. But he's a leader guy, natural. I mean, he's natural, not afraid to talk and all those type of things. We just got to keep teaching him the defense. He's still new to him. He's only get through practice 15 and he missed a couple, so we still got to teach him a lot of things. He's a quarterback mentality, you know. We got to get him more thinking linebacker and defense and seeing the pattern match stuff instead of finding guys open, all those little things.
Caleb said he'd be a little bit afraid to be a hard-hitting linebacker. What position would you put Caleb at if you're putting him on defense?
Caleb play whatever he wants. I like his length.
Hey, lockdown corner, man. I'm telling you. At prime time, put me on the corner. You got Revis Island out there. I'm telling you.
We can use that length in a lot of spots.
Speaking of length, Demetrius Gibbs is his length.
Making
some plays early, getting in the passing lane a couple times, moving him around and using his length. How do you plan to do that?
Yeah, we're going to play him all over the place. He'll play some safety, play some Willie, play some Sam. We'll move him around a little bit. I wish his tall self would have knocked that last pass down, but it is what it is. But we're definitely going to use the long guys and Javon White, all the tall, long guys. They got to get on that field.
Is this individual players on this defense feel more versatile than you had last season?
Definitely, definitely. We have more of the body types to fit the positions and the things we want to do. That's the whole thing. And like we've been talking here, you want the length guys. You want guys that can run and are long. Get like Plummer, he's a corner, he's long, you know, and fast, things like that.
How confident are you feeling? I asked you about Vic, but your linebacker group, because you're returning pretty much everybody except Bailey from last year.
Yeah,
was playing big minutes.
Bailey started playing some really good ball at the end too, but I like the group. We recruited some bodies in there to get it better. And linebacker to me is all about having some smarts, but also having speed, and you're not afraid to hit. And I think we recruited to that. I think there's some guys that are coming back for their second year with me that are a lot better and understanding what we're doing. Farrell's a guy that sticks out to me. We just got to keep getting better, but I like where we're at.
Well, he is Tim Skipper, defensive coordinator for UNLV football. Tim, we appreciate you coming up here right after this.
Thank you. Go Rebs.
Thank you, Tim Skipper. So you hear there from Tim Skipper as Tyler Bischoff and Caleb Herring still here in the booth. The scrimmage is wrapped up. We've got fans and players on the field. They got an autograph session here afterwards. So you hear from Tim Skipper there. I'm curious how much more versatile they will be this year, because you got guys like Demetrius Gibbs and Javon White that we talked about throughout. But that's something that'll be helpful to have the right pieces that you want to plug into that defense.
Yeah, and that's huge for, you know, the recruiting process. There's a whole system that goes into it. There's what you want to recruit, there's what you can recruit, and there's what you end up with, whether it's because of health or who signs where. And then you have to kind of, once recruiting's done and you get the guys that you know you're going to have, you got to tailor your system to it. And I think Coach Skipper's done a good job of kind of trying to figure out his players first. I think that's what last season and last spring was more about, is kind of feeling out what they got and doing what you can with it. This season, I think the defense takes a step because they kind of have more of the pieces that I think they wanted and needed for Coach Skipper's scheme. And so Coach Sanchez and the rest of the crew are doing a great job of recruiting that talent. And we'll see how they plug and play these guys, because, like you mentioned, Gibbs is going to be moved around at a couple different positions where he was kind of exclusively in the secondary last year with guys like Plummer, who are going to get more reps and things like that. The linebacking core being a little bit different, but more depth at that spot. They're going to be able to plug and play guys a little bit more freely than they did last season, and the scheme of things is going to kind of be what you're going to see more this year. And I think Coach Skip had the right mentality. The attitude about it last season was the one that they should have. Be aggressive. Get downhill. Make some plays. Get your offense some more opportunities. Now it's just a matter of honing in on the fundamentals and executing and, like you said, making that play when it comes down to it. Batting that ball down maybe would have been a little bit better feel for him, but that's going to be what matters when the lights are on.
Guys, how are you?
Good. Whose autograph are you getting, Steve?
I know, right? We should mention that all of the fine sideline work by me, does that sound like a pat on the back?
Excellent
is actually,
job.
Is brought to you by Nocvi Injury Law. 1-800-INJURED. You know, there are a couple of players who did not play today, or some newcomers like Seth Robinson, who I think is going to be in the mix to get some time. He's a big kid. He's right now slated at defensive line. He played linebacker in high school. But the other guy that Tony Sanchez mentioned the other day who was not playing today is a true freshman, Jacoby Windham. He sounded like he was really impressed during the entirety of the spring. So that could be another guy in the mix. I think they're going to have a rotation. Do you think so too, Caleb, that they're going to have a rotation of linebackers and not have to rely so much on basically four or five guys like they did last season?
I think that's the best way to do it over a long season. It's rare to see a two or three rotation at linebacker where those three guys get all the reps, because it's just so much demand, especially from that linebacker spot. These days you're going sideline to sideline a lot, so you're going to be gassed by the end of the game. Like there's a lot demanded of Mike or Will linebacker pursuing the ball and being aggressive and being able to play at 100% the entire time. So who knows if they're going to be able to keep that up, but yeah, I think there's going to be a solid rotation at linebacker this season.
So from some of the principles that Tim Skipper was talking about, and you could hear he was really big on speed, right, especially at the linebacker position. How much of a difference is it going to make for these guys who got in for spring versus they have some guys they're bringing in, you know, who are going to be here in the fall, especially some JUCOs who are supposed to be plug and play? How big an advantage is it for the guys who got here in the spring? It seems like a short period of time, but it can make a big difference, right?
It's huge, because not only the spring ball and getting to know the plays, because that helps your speed. Knowing where you're going helps you go there faster, if that makes sense. But that is the first step. Then the second step is they're going to have a full spring and summer of the strength and conditioning that is tailored to build speed. Because if Coach Skipper is saying that he wants speed on defense, you better believe the strength coach in the offseason, when the coaches aren't allowed to be there, is going to be harping on speed. And the work that they're going to be doing is going to be tailored to building up speed and producing speed. So that's what the whole offseason program is going to be about. So if you're not there for that, you're going to miss out on a lot of those opportunities. And it's going to be up to you to come to fall camp ready with the speed and the training that you should have to kind of match the speed that's been going on all summer.
And you heard just the way Tim Skipper phrased it. He's not speaking Chinese to the guys that were here last year anymore. So Steve Cofield down there on the sidelines. Who's the most popular getting autographs? I see Armani's out here safe. Yeah, nobody's
standing by himself.
Armani.
A lot of family out here too, so it's hard to read the difference between the massive families and the autograph seekers.
Steve is going into the mix right now.
Well, this is the hard investigative stuff that I do during the games. Caleb hears it. The audience hears it.
Yeah.
I get all the important notes from the sidelines.
You escaped without anything finding your face, did you, today?
I was totally safe. I stayed way off the field. It was way too fast for me. My reflexes were getting slower and slower each year.
Wait, if Tylee Collins is returning a punt for a touchdown, are you racing down the sideline with him?
Possibly.
You need.
I think by the time he gets to the end zone, I could be at the 40 on the return side. I don't remember the kid. Was it the Red Rocket? Some redheaded kid who was
down the sideline. I remember that.
Down the sideline at Florida State. Is going on?
Yeah, that's you, Steve. If you don't do that this season, I will be disappointed.
I didn't do it one time last season. Why is this required? Is that next? So we all have to improve?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
It's been brought up now, so now you have to do it. So it's
Tim
a part
Skipper's
of the mandate.
Tim Skipper's like, I need the defense
to
hit another level. I need our sideline reporter to be able to at least go 75% with a big return man. Yeah, I'm going to keep up with Tylee Collins. That'll happen.
That's great stuff.
Steve Cofield on the sideline. We'll take one last break here from Peter Johan Memorial Field. Hopefully we'll get Tony Sanchez here in just a few minutes. Welcome back to Peter Johan Memorial Field. Tyler Bischoff and Caleb Hearing up here in the booth as the spring showcase has wrapped up. We will get Tony Sanchez up here to join us in just a minute. But Caleb, I'm curious, spring camp is over. What's the key? What's the most important thing for a football player at UNLV between now and the next time they start to see whether it's a strength coach or their coaches in the fall?
It's to stick together. I think that the mindset has to be of, you know, wanting to be together and wanting to continue to improve together. You're going to take some time off from football. You're going to rest and relax and enjoy a vacation, maybe, you know, go home and see your family in the time off that you have. But you got to be ready to get your mind back to the summertime and grinding with just your brothers, your teammates, because the coaches aren't allowed to be there. You know, the strength coach is allowed some time on the field, but the coaches aren't going to be there for most of the time where you're improving over the summer. It's important that you don't take a lull and take steps back. After what you've accomplished in spring ball, you don't take steps back and you have to start all over again in fall. You got to stay together in the summer and work hard and improve as a team.
We got Steve Cofield down there. He's got Gabe McCoy with him.
Yep, conversation brought to you by NACVI Injury Law, 1-800-INJURED. Yeah, Gabe McCoy, one of the veterans on this defense, is here with us. Well, first of all, let's talk about the spring showcase and, you know, goals that you guys wanted to accomplish. What do you think about the cleanliness of the game?
I think our main goal is to come out here and, you know, put on a show, you know, show what we've been playing on and putting on for this defense, and, you know, being more aggressive and being more of a sound defense than last year, being able to be more disciplined and come out, you know, and do our thing.
How is this different for you now? I mean, this is it, right? You got final spring showcase and then, you know, the final season. So what's it like for one of the vets, one of the old guys, you know, in terms of urgency?
Yeah, it's a lot. You know, it's a lot of urgency, you know. Every day I'm pinpointing on everything. I'm on everybody's butt. They'll even tell you every day I'm 100% on it. And, you know, that's all we got to have. If we want to be able to win and be in top in our conference and do the things we got to do, we got to be disciplined. That's something we need to work on. We've really grown on this spring. And I think especially on defense, you know, we come a lot together with that and being more disciplined as a whole team.
What do you think your role is going to be in terms of position and responsibilities? Because you kind of mixed it up a little bit. You played both, you know, both levels up front on the defense. Sometimes you'd be, you know, a rush guy. Sometimes you'd be playing linebacker. What do you think it's going to be this time around?
I think, really, to be honest, I think my role is just to be a versatile guy, being able to be anywhere the coaches need me to go, and that's either from playing linebacker, even to playing D-line, you know, but being versatile and being able to be there for everybody and make the plays I need to make. So I think that's my main goal, and also being a leader on this team, making sure we do the things we need to do to win, and, you know, not just being a leader that tells everybody to do, but to also lead by example as well, being able to.
How important is it, and we've asked a lot of the players and people around the team, that all the coaches stayed? You got it. Like, for players, how big is continuity in terms of the voices that are coming at you year to year?
And it's great, you know, especially our defensive coordinator. We got Coach Brown and we got Coach Skip, man. Those guys are great. Especially they're so detail-oriented with everything they do. And I feel like us as players just ensures just that, you know, we're more comfortable and be able to do things we need to do comfortably. And they make it easy. They make it easy.
Let's talk depth. We're talking to Gabe McCoy, one of the linebackers senior for UNLV. Let's talk about depth this time. It looks like one of the deeper linebacking cores that you guys have had since you've been here.
Definitely. You know, when I've been here, that's always been one of the biggest things, us going into the season and having injuries. And I feel like this year we got threes for every spot on the defense almost. And I feel like that's the biggest thing. You know, even playing USC last year, I feel like that was one of the biggest things that we didn't have was depth. You know, a lot of it, you know, the ones coming out and then it just kind of went downhill from there. But I feel like depth is the main thing we have, and everybody's caught up. We don't have everybody in different situations. Everybody knows the playbook, and for the most part is caught up and know what to do. So I think that's been going along with the coaches and us as leaders, you know, pushing that.
So the fans are dying to see what the new football facility is going to look like inside. It's not complete yet. A big smile broke out on his face. How cool is it, and what's the coolest thing that you've seen in there, and you're like, my God, we have this in our football facility?
Man, the whole place was cool, but when I went in there, it was amazing, because I just remember being on the phone with Coach Sanchez as a senior in high school, and him telling me that I was going to be here. So for it to finally be here, it was amazing. But probably one of my best spots in there was probably man, the locker room was awesome. I'm not going to lie. The locker room was so great. It's way better than the one we have now. But I feel like the part that really goes unnoticed, that's not there yet, is the training table. I feel like for us, that's one of the special things we need to have is a training table. I think that's going to be one of my best places to go, you know, get that food.
All right, last one. I don't know if people noticed, but you seem to be at every basketball game this year. Why was that? You're a big basketball fan, or is it one of those things like, hey, there's a brotherhood here amongst the athletes. We got to support each other.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, ever since I was a freshman, I always felt like, you know, that's something we need to do. Because I do see them in some of our games, so that's crazy that you noticed that. But, yeah, I like to support, but also my girlfriend's a Rebel girl, so that's why I got to go there, too.
There's the inside scoop. All right, Gabe, we appreciate it. Stay healthy, and good luck in the coming season.
So thank you, sir. Thank you, you too.
There you go, Gabe McCoy. I will stay healthy. I like that he wished me good health, because I don't know if I'm going to make it to the football season. We're going to send it upstairs back to Tyler and Caleb, and we're working on. Is he there? I see.
He's there.
Tony Sanchez is right there, and I'll be walking up.
But not nearly as important as you getting to the bottom of Gabe McCoy and why he's at all the UNLV games.
I get all – that's not dirt, right? But I get the good stuff.
That's good stuff.
Sometimes.
That's great stuff. I'm glad you got that scoop, man. You're like the new TMZ.
Tony Sanchez joins us now following the spring showcase. And, Tony, we talked to Tim Skipper a few minutes ago, and he wasn't overly concerned with today, more so the whole spring in general. So you get your spring camp in. How are you feeling about it? How much did you guys accomplish of what you wanted to do?
Yeah, when you look at overall, I think we got in what we wanted to. And, you know, the biggest thing was developing, you know, some of those bottom guys. When I say bottom, I'm talking about ability level. I'm just talking about the younger guys, getting them used to the system. So it was good. I thought Armani had a good spring. He was consistent, which was good to see. It was nice to see him come out and complete some of those early balls and just look confident and calm in there, and got him out real fast. I thought Max continued to improve, Oblad also. So you're seeing some really good competition there. So they'll still battle for that two spot. The real evident thing to us was just the depth we have on the old line. I mean, you saw Donnie play, you know, Donovan Outlaw play center and tackle today. You saw Sid play guard and center today. Julio Garcia is rotating with the ones and the twos, and Zach Saint. So there's a lot of interchangeable pieces that we have. So you have to get a couple dinged up guys during the year. There's a lot of guys who can come in and make a difference. You know, it was tough losing Presley. That was one of the tough things coming out of spring. So we've got an extra scholarship. So we'll look to see if there's someone we're going to bring in to replace him, or if one of the young guys can step up. Defensively overall, I thought we had a good spring. I thought the guys did a really good job of, being workmanlike. The tackling, for the most part, was really good throughout the course of the spring. Some missed tackles today I got to get a little bit better at. And then we gave up some of the big balls today, a little bit more than we had. Part of that, too, is we got a lot of our guys out early. Jericho, you saw, he didn't play a bunch at all. He got in, get him out, got to stay healthy there. You know, Miles Plummer gave him some more reps. He was really good to see this spring, just evolve and gain confidence. He really reminds me of Robert Jackson. You know, Robert came in, had a tough first year, just, you know, mentally grasping it all, and now he's 3 years in the league. And Plummer's similar to him. He's a big guy. Numbers jump off the charts. He just got to play with some confidence. And then Drew Techman, you know, that was big. Evan Oster's been around for a long time. He'll have a good year. But just adding the athleticism that Drew brings, I thought was really big in that back end. And then the linebacking core is deeper than we've ever had it. And I thought they played well and consistent throughout the year.
As far as the depth in general, you've talked about it since you've been here the entire time, building that up. Is this finally it? Like, is this what you've wanted your depth to be the whole time? Like, you finally have it this year?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think you've got a capable stable of backs. You know, I think you've got more than one or two good receivers. There's a handful of guys that can make plays there. Again, offensive line, I just talked about that. You know, defensive line, there's a lot of bodies there. Still more to come. The one place we're probably a little slim still depth-wise is corner. You know, we'd like to have that extra corner. We got a couple guys coming in. We have a JUCO safety and corner coming in. They need to come in and be guys for us. So if that works out and those guys play to their capability level, then I think we're going to be really solid depth-wise. And, again, where it all translates to special teams, you know, the deeper you are, the more guys – I mean, if you're a starter, you should be on two special teams, you know. And in the past, you know, the guys backing up have maybe been a little bit, you know, less able to come in and be impactful on those special teams, which I think you're going to see a big difference this year. I mean, for example, you got guys like Ferrell Hester and Vic Viramontes battling out, and they're two great players. I mean, so to have that kind of quality at that mic position is a big deal. We haven't had that before.
So talking about Ferrell Hester, he was kind of the number two guy who kind of blossomed a little bit last season, had a couple of fumble recoveries, made some plays late in the year. For him to have Vic come in and now kind of have that competition, how has he been developing and kind of handling that pressure of that competition?
You know, he took it to a whole other level. He's probably performed better than any linebacker we've had throughout the course of spring. I mean, he's been a really steady Eddie. He's graded out high all the time. You know, and Vic's a little bit more athletic, but Ferrell makes up with it with his football knowledge and his savviness, his ability to read, communicate, see keys, and just react. And he does that as good as anybody.
We saw Chad Magyar at the running back spot. You're obviously replacing Lashon Thomas. You got Charles Williams there. But with Chad, we saw him run some people over. We saw him make a play out of the backfield. How versatile of a running back is he going to be for you guys?
You know, it's because, you know, we all know Chuck can do, but I think as far as complete back, I think Chad's probably our most complete back, being able to catch the ball, pass pro, run the ball. He can kind of do it all, you know. He's a tailback slash H-back almost when you look at his size and his ability level. But we love the way that he can get out into space and catch the ball, being that pass-catching guy. But he also can go ahead and run that inside zone and get you some hard yards. So really like Chad. You know, I remember going to watch him play in a high school game at Santa Margarita, and it's just, you know, the way – I mean, just the way he competed in that game, the way they used him in a variety of different ways. We're excited about him, and I think he's going to have a good year.
And he's a good example of a guy that you hone some of his skills by getting him on special teams.
100%. He played on a bunch of special teams last year throughout the course of the year. I mean, I think he averaged like 28 snaps a game, and those are on special teams. So he's going to be a guy that first time he touches the ball against Southern Utah, it's not going to be anything overwhelming because of the experience he has.
We didn't see your entire running back mix today either.
Right? No.
Obviously, you have more people coming in.
We do. You know, I mean, again, I like the guys that we have right now. I mean, I think it's good. I mean, there's a battle at that two spot. I think Chad, because of his ability level, is kind of there. But you look at, you know, Tariq Hollinsworth, you know, he's got to, you know, get himself right coming off an injury. He's probably got to drop a couple more pounds, you know, and just, you know, and he's been working on that. But, you know, get some of his explosiveness back. And Courtney Reach, you know, he got some more inside zone plays, not as much outside stuff today. We got to figure out some different ways to get him the ball in space. But he's pretty dynamic. He actually reminds me of Lex as a freshman. I don't know if he'll have that same type of career. We hope so.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
But he can sure run like him, that's for sure.
Give him a carry on fourth and one, too.
Well, I know, and on the headsets, I told a running back, what the hell are we doing? You know, it's like, yeah, so we got some bigger guys. What did
you see out of Ali Walsh?
I thought he played well, you know, and it's funny. He could easily battle for that two spot, too, and eventually be a one, you know, at some point here. He's done a really good job. Got to develop the hands in the pass catching area, but you know he's picked it up. I mean, coming in new system, I've thought he's done a really, really good job. And we all know how fast he is. I mean, he's as fast as anybody on the roster. So he's another guy that just, you know, adds to that stable. And we're hoping he's eligible this year. We don't know. I know everybody else in the country is getting eligible. If he was a quarterback, he'd be eligible. So I hope he's eligible.
And you still have a JUCO running back coming in the fall.
We do. Yep.
What do you expect in terms of impact and being in the mix?
You know what? It's going to be interesting to see. These guys have done a good job of competing, and anytime a guy like that comes in, you know, I mean, you get a JUCO guy coming in, he's got 2 years, he's going to come in hungry as hell. So it's going to add to that competition, and it's either going to rise some other guys at the top or he'll end up taking the jobs.
Another guy we haven't talked about yet, but who I'm excited about based on last season, Tylee Collins, his role in the offense, special teams, how he's going to impact the game. What do you like about what he's done this spring?
He's been good this spring, you know. He's another one who, it was unfortunate. We had a lot of guys lose their grandparents. He lost his grandmother during spring, had to leave a couple days early before spring break, and came back. He handled it well, you know. But he's a dynamic guy. We have to continue to create ways. I mean, we're not going to do a lot in a spring game, but when we go into the season, we have to have Tylee Collins plays that are going to get him the ball in space, whether that's reverses, slip screens, bubbles. I mean, he's going to catch his normal balls in regular route running, but we got to find other ways, too, to get creative and get him the ball.
You got
to
be next-level creative because by the middle of the season, we were talking about that San Jose State game, and that was kind of the spotlight where from there forward, every team is like, hey, this freshman, he's a true freshman. He's not going to beat us.
Exactly. I mean, they did a good job of bracketing him, knowing where he's at, you know. A lot of stuff we do is read type stuff. You know, hey, you know, if we have numbers over here, we're going to throw him the slip screen. If not, we're going to go ahead and throw it to the field. And, you know, and they were taking that away. So, again, we got to get creative. And regardless of what their game plan is, have other ways. The number one way you do that is to have more than one threat like that, though. So we need some guys to step up and to be more playmakers. So that way you can't focus on one guy.
He seems to be an interesting guy. Can he be a leader with words or by example? Because just watching him on the sidelines, he's a serious dude. Like, he's annoyed he's not doing more, that he's not having more of an impact. He seems to have a, I don't know, there's something exuding from him where he always wants to do more.
He does. You know, he's really hard on himself. He loves the game, and he wants to make big plays. And so it's one of those, you know, maturity deals. So he's still young. He's got to learn. That's a good thing, but it can't get in your way. So if you get to the point where you're frustrated because you're not doing more or you could have got a couple more, I mean, it just gets in your way. So be competitive, but be mature about it.
Well, you touched on Armani Rogers a minute ago, but he only played, I think it was two series there in the scrimmage, and Caleb was saying that's kind of what you want to see, that you guys this spring, you saw what you need from Armani Rogers, good to go?
Yeah, you know, he wasn't live one practice during the spring, and I was just like, all right, let's go two series, let's get him out. you know, the good thing about him is he's got a lot of miles. You know, I mean, he's got a lot of yards rushing. You know, he's been banged around here and there. You know, he's made some great plays, and he's going into his fourth year. So we know what he can do, so it's not as imperative that he goes in and gets a ton of reps. But you do want to see guys like Max work with the ones. You want to see Kenny Noblad work with the ones. And a lot of times during, you know, your regular practices, Armani gobbles up all those reps. So that was a good thing to see today. And I'll be honest with you, as a coach, you just want to get out of here healthy.
Absolutely. Spring showcases for a coach must be a nightmare, like coming in here and just hoping nobody gets hurt, hoping you get out of here clean. Obviously you accomplished that here today. People got out of here. It was kind of what you wanted to see, just executed the things. How was that side of it, the procedural side of the game? How was that for you this year?
That was good. It was good. I mean, it's funny, though. I mean, that's why you do these things. So right away, you know, we start off with a punt, and we got two guys missing. You know, they're sitting over here drinking water, talking to somebody, you know. And then we do PAT field goal, and there's a guy, man, it's like, what the heck's going on over here?
Yeah.
So, you know, there'll be a conversation about that next week. And we'll get rid of that, and it won't happen in the fall. So there's some, you know, I tallied about 70 snaps, which that's a good amount of snaps. And the great thing is we got a lot of young guys, a ton of reps. They got the majority of the reps today were, you know, guys that are 2/3s. So it's good to get that on film so we can do a better job, you know, evaluating them going in and seeing what their roles are going to be going into fall camp.
Well, he is Tony Sanchez, head coach of UNLV football here after the UNLV Spring Football Showcase. Tony, we appreciate your time.
Appreciate you guys. Go Rebs.
Thank you, Tony. So we will wrap it up here over these last few minutes. So, Caleb, we talked a lot about execution that you saw today, and just curious, what was your biggest takeaway from this spring game, spring showcase?
The biggest takeaway was that the team's taking steps. I think, like I compared with Coach Skipper from last season to this season, defensively especially, there was a step taken in the right direction where, like he said, we don't hear everything that they're saying, but they just seemed to be more on the same page, and there wasn't confusion about where they should be or who's doing what or even the personnel situation. There's a lot of confidence out there, especially when things started off with the ones versus ones. It was a more focused thing. I think seeing Armani and Charles Williams answer a question that I guess was burning since the end of last season, which is how do you replace Lexington Thomas? And Charles Williams ripping off that run was very comforting for Rebel fans to see, okay, we still got some guys that can go. You know, it's going to be good. Seeing Armani develop a little bit, some more accuracy in the passing game on the few series that he did get was huge. But overall, the team seemed like they get it a little bit more. The size has increased. The depth has increased. You saw more guys out there who are capable of getting one and two reps. So overall, it was a good spring showcase. It is what you want to see by, as a coach and as a fan. I'm satisfied with where the program's moving.
It is all about a bowl game this season for UNLV. And you look at that schedule, they've got games against Vanderbilt and Northwestern in the non-conference. How are you feeling about getting the 6 wins? You pulled it off in your senior year.
I tell you what, it's not a cakewalk. And it's just regardless of who you're playing. I think, you know, there's no top 5 teams on there or anything like that. No, there's no Alabama or a team like that on there. But competition is competition. Week in and week out, they roll the ball out there for a reason. If the games were decided before they were played, then we wouldn't have to go play them. But every week is an opportunity to knock off somebody that you shouldn't or to be beaten by somebody that shouldn't beat you. So UNLV just has to focus on playing every Saturday or Friday whenever the games fall as if it matters the most. And each game, 1 week at a time, there's winnable games. I can see 6 wins on there. It's not going to be easy. It's no cakewalk, and no season ever is. But 6 games is a realistic goal for a team at this point in UNLV in their program. They should be realistically looking at 6 games, and in my opinion, more. I think that the sky's the limit. You got to shoot higher than your goals, I think, is the thing here for UNLV. 6 games shouldn't just be the goal, but like you said, bowl game or bust is what kind of the notion is around the community and even within the program. Coach Sanchez himself putting that expectation on the team.
Steve Cofield came back for the last 60 seconds.
Oh, I thought we had more time. I agree with Caleb, though. I think the goal has to be higher. Obviously, Reno's put together some good football seasons. When you concentrate on just winning 6, I think that gets into your head. Got to try to win every game, right?
So, looking at you for your kind of looking at the schedule.
It's rough. It's no doubt it's rough. But, hey, if you're a legit bowl team, you're going to win 7, 8, 9 games. You got to win road games. Doesn't matter how the schedule falls.
I think it's going to be big to see consistency because we've seen pretty much every year in Tony Sanchez, they can beat San Diego State, but they also lose the game to San Jose State. Can they avoid those losses to San Jose State, those types of things? throughout the season. But Caleb Herring, Steve Cofield have been with us this whole time as the UNLV Spring Football Showcase has been wrapped up. Again, that season opener will be August 31st against Southern Utah at Sam Boyd Stadium. The last season at Sam Boyd Stadium. They get two home games to kick it off, Southern Utah and then Arkansas State on September 7th. We saw just a little bit of Armani Rogers and Charles Williams today, but you'll see a lot more of them on August 31st. For Caleb and Steve and all of us here for UNLV and Learfield, thanks for tuning in.